జయం శుభాగమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదస్సు శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదానికి జయం. నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదస్సు శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదానికి ఆనందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమసహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమున మాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువన్ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనమాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం భవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యత ప్రభో. నమ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తన్నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదస్ చాతేష్ విజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే జన్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ. తేజో వాయుమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నాస్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ప్రోజ్జితకైలవోత్ర పరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో ప్రధ్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణాల్. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాత మృదగ్రవ సంయుతం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనువేదమవేదకృత్యం వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుభవ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదాంధమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయా పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొనిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీన కణికాభికాభికావి. నమామోం విష్ణుముపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणी श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः। वन्दे नन्दं व्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशां व्यासं हरिगतो गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपी चरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः। पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वदालये शमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारगा वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदाम्बुरगो मम। मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय श्रीमन्दिराधिकायै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम्। नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे हुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपा प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवा पाराशल्यवजःसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानगकेसरं हरिकथासम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनषल्पधैरहरः पेवीयमानम् मुदा भूयात् भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे। मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर् वेदैर्साङ्गपदेर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्नं न विदुसुरासुरगणैर्देवाय तस्मै नमः। So, yesterday we have practically completed the demoniac nature which Krishna has spoken very extensively from verse 7 onwards. isn't it? Krishna says, beginning, that the demoniac nature of a person is, he does not know what is the right thing to do. That's where the problem starts. Pravrtincha nivrtincha jana na vidurasvira. Na shaujam na abhijajaro na satyam teshu vidyade. If you look at the seventh verse, you will see. From there onwards, the rest of the chapter is all reference to, in referring to the demonic side of the demonic nature of the human being, the human nature in the demonic way. Asatyam apradishtande jagadahura nishwaram avaraspara sambhodam kimainir kamahedugam enam drishtvam avastabhyam nashtalma alpa uddhaya prabhavandi ugragarmani chayayam jagadohida. So many things Krishna is saying one after the other about the demonic nature. If you put together all this demonic nature, you will get a personality very familiar in many times in the world. That is why Krishna says there, that the Krishna is talking about his external activities as much as he talks about how his inside works, inside that person. Both you can see in these verses. Kama mashritya dushpuram dambhamana madanyudaha mohan grihitva asad grahan pravartande ashuji pradaha chindam abhirimeyam cha pralayantam upashrada kamobha bhogavarama edavadidi nishchidaha ashabhasha shadarbhedhva kamakrodha parayana ihande kamabhogartam anyayenartha sanchayan. Then Krishna says, idam adhya mayalabdham idam prapsiye manoradham idam astidam abhime bhavishyati punardhanam asau maya hada shatru anishye chaparan abhi ishwaroham aham bhogi siddoham balavan sukhi adhyobi janavanasmi konyosti sadrishomaya yekshye dasyami modishya iti ajnana vimohidaha aneka chitta vibhranda moha jala samavridaha prasakta kama bhogeshu padandi narage ashichau. Then yesterday we spoke about this alma sambhavida stabdha dhanamana madanyvidaha yajande nama isse dambhena avidhipurvakam ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodhanja samshridaha mamalpa paradeheshu pravishando abhisoyegaha tanaham shalakruran samsareshu naradhaman shibami ajamstram ajasram ashubam asurishweva yonishu. Then finally Krishna says, such persons whom Krishna has spoken in all these verses, what we have discussed over several classes, Krishna says, they will be sent back again and again to the asurim yoni, to the demoniac species. Asurim yoni mapannam mudha janmani janmani, birth after birth. Why? Mam apraiva kaunt, apraiva kaunt, apraiva kaunt, prapraiva kaunteya tado yandhi adhamam gadhim. Their future doesn't look very good. Because till this demonic nature goes away from them, they have to go through this process of purification. It's not a punishment, it's a purification for them. Therefore, they have to accept more and more demonic bodies through which their demonic vasanas has to get exhausted. That is why it is like that. After that verse, in the next verse, Krishna is going to conclude the whole discussion till now about the demonic nature. That is why the next verse is important. Trividam naragasyedam. Let's look at that. Trividam naragasyedam.
Trividam naragasyedam.
Dwaram nashanam
almanaha.
Kama krodhastadha lobha.
Tasmadedatrayam
tyajed. Trividam naragasyedam. Dwaram nashanam
almanaha.
Kama krodhastadha lobha. Tasmadedatrayam
tyajed.
So, as far as Krishna is concerned, all these verses, what Krishna has spoken from 7 to 20, this 14 verses, a summary of that is this verse. The 14 verses Krishna has summarized in this one verse. What Krishna is saying is that Arjuna, in generally I can say, if someone has these three nature, particularly kamam, krodham and lobham. As long as a person has these three, he has the demoniac nature. He has the demoniac nature. That's why he's saying here, trividam naragasyedam, three kinds of hell is waiting for them, and kamam, krodham and lobham, lust, anger and greed, and that is the gateway to hell. That's the gateway to hell. Trividham, tri pragaram, naragasya prapto, idam dwaram nashanam alpana, yad dwaram pravishan, eva nashyati alma. He will get completely destroyed in that process if he gets into these three gates of hell. The person will never, will find it very difficult to come back from that. Kasmaichit purushartha yogyo na bhavati. What will happen to him? He won't be qualified to get any of the purushartham. Purushartham means dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, isn't it? Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, liberation. He is not qualified for any of them. He doesn't have any dharmam, he doesn't have any artham, he doesn't have any fulfillment of his desires, kamam, or there is no hope of even liberation either. Yogyo na bhavati. Idi yena uchide nashanam almanidi. Practically, Krishna says he is going to destroy himself. That's a very strong warning in that verse. Trividam naragasvidam dwaram nashanam almana. Kama krodhas tatha lobam tasma deda trayam tejen. So even if you enter through any of these three doors, any one of these three doors, he will not have any purushartham. Purushartham. So therefore, Krishna says that these doors are the gateways to hell. Gateways to hell. Kim tat. Therefore, kamam krodham tadha lobam tasmad eda trayam tyajet. Yad edad dvaram nashanam alpana tasmad kamadi trayam edad tyajet tyagastuti iyam. Krishna is going to say, why these three doors like this? Kamam, krodham and lobham. And also, Krishna says to us, therefore, because it's going to destroy our very self, destruction in the sense, no possibility of advancing on the spiritual path. That is destruction. Remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna mentions this very clearly. What does he say? He says, Nradeham adyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam. Krishna says, I have given this human form of body for realizing the truth. If he does not utilize it for that purpose, he has lost it. He has lost it. As far as Krishna is concerned, human body is for self-realization, nothing else. That's the only thing Krishna is looking at. So if you do not achieve that, due to entering through any of these three gates of kamam, krodham and lobham, as far as Krishna is concerned, his life is over, finished. Although he is living, he is dead. That is the way Krishna sees that. Lebdhva suburlabham idam bahu sambhavande manushyam arthadam anityamabhi hadhiraha. That this human form, Krishna says, I have given to someone after going through several different species, different bodies, he has come to this human form. And if he does not utilize that for the purpose of realizing the truth, he has lost a great opportunity, a great chance. That's what he is saying here. So, labdhva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavande means, after several bodies, he has come to the human body. And manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha. That human form is arthadam. It has some meaningful existence, although it is temporary. Krishna says the body is temporary, but it has a meaningful existence because in human form it is possible to realize the self, possible to realize the truth. Manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha. But a dhira, a sober person who know the purpose of human life, he should follow this path. Krishna says, turnam padeed. One day body will drop. Before that, yade danimurti yavel nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. That knowing very well the body will drop one day, whatever time that is available in this human form must be utilized for realizing the truth. That is Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavatam. So following through the same way, here also Krishna is saying that if it is not utilized And if he goes through any of these three doors, kamam, krotham or lobham, then that person is finished. It's impossible for him to come back to spiritual life again. It's going to take a very, very, very long time. That is what he's saying there. So, these three verses we have seen before also, but at the end of the last verse, we mentioned this, that people will fall in spiritual life. They will fall in spiritual life. But those who are going through these three gateways of hell, kamam, krotham and lobham, the chances of them returning back is a big question mark. It's going to take a very, very long period of time. But then there are others who have fallen, even while in there situated in spiritual life, due to some prarabdham, sometimes pulls them back to animal's body. As we said yesterday, that sometimes they are called yoga brashta. Yoga brashta means that they have somehow, from the path of yoga process, what they were following, they somehow deviated and fell from that. If that happens, they may get an animal body or bird's body or whatever body, but it is possible for them to come back again. So there is a difference there. Yoga brashtas and this category are two different categories. For them to come back, those who have gone through the gateways of hell, for them to come back, it's going to be a long, long time. But those who have fallen through from yoga process, yoga brashta, they will come back again back to the human form again. Like in the Bhagavatam, the examples are Indradyumna became an elephant. They are yoga brashta, that is. Indradyumna is yoga brashta. He became an elephant and then he came back again back to the he came back to the spiritual world after that, isn't it? He became the elephant Gajendra and then he went back to the spiritual world. Jatabharata became a deer and then he went back to the spiritual world. So they are all yoga brashtas. Jatabharata is a specific example of yoga brashta. From yoga process he fell, isn't it? So that is different than this category. They are two different categories. So that is what Krishna is pointing out in the last verse. So when you talk about this verse, Asirin Yoni Ma Pennam, Muta Janmani Janmani, Mama Prapeva Kaunteya, Tadoyanti Athamam Gadim. That does not apply to yoga brashtas. That only applies to those who have gone through the three gateways of hell. It is them it is applicable. That you have to bear in mind. So now Krishna is giving the final judgment in through these verses. He says there that trividham, that trividham tripragaram naragasya prapto idam dwaram nashanam almana. So Krishna is saying that person is not qualified for any of the purushartham. That is the judgment. If he falls into these three, which one, kamam, krotham or lobham, then that person is not qualified for any of the purushartham. Purushartham means that he cannot follow the path of dharma anymore. He cannot acquire any wealth in this world because he has gone far away from that. And then he cannot fulfill any of your reasonable desires in him. Kamam. And kamam, when we talk about kamam, you have to bear this in mind, what Krishna has spoken about kamam before. Which one? Dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamam. That kamam which is not against religious principles. That is allowed. Dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamam. That kamam also will not happen in his life. Neither ultimately the final goal, liberation, also is not going to happen to him. That's what Krishna says here. So, so this we have to remember, when Krishna is saying that if he has gone through these three gateways of hell, which means kamam, krotham or lobham, that person will never be qualified for purushartham. Purushartham means dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, isn't it? So in that kamam refers to that kamam which Krishna has spoken before, dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamam. Dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamam, which we have discussed before. If you remember what that kamam means, isn't it? So similarly, kamam, krotham, lobham. Kamam and krotham generally means ragam, dvesham. Ragadveshams external manifest. Ragadvesham is inside. It comes out in the form of kamam krodham. Kamam krodham. So, in other words, those things, what is going to disturb us a lot, and maintaining excessive attachment to that. Sense objects, that is going to create a lot of distress for us, and to keep excessive attachment to those things, that is called kama. That is called kama. Because you have to see the subtlety of these things, because otherwise you won't, if you look from the gross side, you won't understand that. You have to remember like this, that those things in this world, which is going to cause us extreme distress in this world, and those objects, to them, if we have excessive attachment, that is kama. That is kama. So, and dvesham, ragadvesham, when we talk about that dvesham, is being particular about things. I want this. It should be like this. And that is due to attachment. So many things in this world, we can't have it. And to maintain excessive attachment to anything in this world is dangerous, because it will bring distress to us one day or the other. This is what we have to learn from the Bhagavad Gita, that this excessive attachment to anything in this world is ultimately going to bring distress to us. Sukham asakti, dukha vaimukhyam. So, these two things, ragam and dvesham, those objects which is going to give us distress in some form or the other, excessive attachment to them, and being particular about things, that I want it like this, I want it like that. This is not a spiritual quality, to be particular about things. So, because it is due to lack of understanding of Maya, how Maya works in this world. If we become particular, Maya will push us to the extreme and make us suffer from that. So, therefore, lobham, Krishna says here, that no matter how much is acquired, still never satisfied. More, more, more. So, whether it is wealth or any other kind of thing, it doesn't matter. Krishna says there, all these three are the entry doors to the hell. Then Krishna says, tasmat, Krishna's most favorite word, isn't it? Kamam, krodham, tada, lobham, tasmat, he says. So, tasmat, so, why? Because the very root cause of all other problems in life is this, Krishna is saying to us. Krishna is saying to us. So, why? Because these three things creates ajnanam inside. It's a symptom of ajnanam inside, avidya inside. And atmajnanam, the knowledge of the self, cannot develop there. Because this avidya will continuously block it. Sarva anartha bijam is the bijam, or the seed of all anartham. And tejed, uncompromising. Krishna is saying it cannot be compromised. That nature. Tasmadeda trayam tejed. And therefore give it up. Krishna says, give it up. And tasmad jnanadineva vivikna mohaha. The same thing you will see in the Bhagavadam in the fifth canto. If you look in the fifth canto Bhagavadam, you will see there that tasmat jnananyaiva vivikna moha. Who says this? Brahmana. Jadabrata says to Rahugana. In the fifth canto you will see this. In the fifth canto, if you look at the 12th chapter, Rahugana mentions certain things to Jadabharata, and Bharata's reply there, the last words in that is, Krishna is saying that Rahugana, Jadabharata says to Rahugana, I have got this body, the body of the deer, and in this body, I remembered Krishna. Why? Samam spradir mrgadehe biviraha Krishnarchana Prabhavo no Jahadi. That power of Krishna consciousness, he is saying, Krishnarchana Prabhavo no Jahadi. Adho aham janasangad asango vishangamano avivrudas charami. That I learned this lesson in the previous body. Why did I have to accept the dear body? Because in Bharata Yogesh, Bharata's body, I understood that I should not have connection with anything in this world. See how careful Jada Bharata was. He realized it, that if I make any connection with anyone in this world, it will develop into attachment. Some form of attachment will, in a very subtle level, it will build up. And once it has built up, it will be very difficult again to, those thoughts will come back to me, because I suffered from that once. I thought about this deer, got attached to the deer, deer came to me at the time of death, and I had to accept that body, deer body, is it not? So, since I had to accept that dear body, Krishna says, Bharata says to Raghuvana, I had one positive thing in there. Even though I was in a dear body, in my human form, when I served Krishna, Krishna has been kind to me to remind me of that life. Exactly like Indradyumna's case. Indradyumna remembered how to glorify Krishna from his life, previous life as the king, which carried with him to the elephant's body, Gajendra's body, isn't it? So in Gajendra's body, he remembered about his past life as Indradyumna and the glorification he had for Krishna. That is Krishna's mercy. To remind us, even in the dog's body. So this is again another example. You can see that they are not affected by the, because they didn't follow the process of these three, which one, lust, anger and greed. They didn't go in that direction. They fell due to their prarabdham. It has happened to Indradyumna due to prarabdham. It has happened to Jadabharata due to prarabdham. Due to prarabdham, they had to become a deer and they had to become an elephant. But even though they had come to that, Krishna Archana Prabhavono Jahadi, that power of Krishnarchanam. Krishnarchanam means how Bharata Yogeshwara saved Krishna, served Krishna in his early life. That followed me, he says. Krishna Archana Prabhavono Jahadi. That it followed me all the way through. Adho aham. And how did that follow? It followed like this. Why? It reminded me not to make contact with anyone again in this world. That was Krishna Archana Prabhavono Jahadi. After Krishnarchana Prabhavam no Jahadi, it is a big thing it is. That Krishnarchana Prabhavam is, Prabhava means the power of that Krishnarchana. Krishnarchana means serving Krishna, service to Krishna. The power, the Prabhavam of that is, no Jahadi, it didn't leave me, he says. How did it follow me? Adho aham janasangad asangoho. Whenever I came into contact with others in this world, I moved away. I didn't want to have any connection with anybody. Vishangamano avivrudascharami. And I moved on like this till this body dropped off. Which one? The deer body. Till the deer's body dropped away, I continued in that way. And then in the last verse he says, Tasmal naro sanga susanga jada jnanasine neiva viknamoha harim tadiha kathana shrudabhyam. You can see there, he says, Jnanasine haiva vivrikta moha, tasma naro asanga susanga jada. Jadavarada says to Bharata Yogeshwara says to Raghuvana, that tasma naro asanga susanga jada. That I got into trouble because of sangam, attachment to others. Unnecessarily, I developed a relationship with others. I suffered from that. I had to pay a heavy price for that. He is acknowledging that. So, harim jnana sineheiva vibhukna moha. Through cultivation of the knowledge, I managed to free myself from that, he says here. So, how? Through the power, the sword of knowledge. Through the sword of knowledge. What is that knowledge? I learned this one, he says here. That to see in the objects in the world, there is something to enjoy here. This feeling, that there is always something to enjoy here.
This is our ajnanam inside. And cutting through that, to recognize himself that there is nothing to enjoy here, everything in this world is ultimately going to bring distress to us in one form or the other. Wherever we have attachment, in whichever way it is, objects, persons, in whatever form it is, all these attachments finally bring back distress to us one day or the other. Either they will leave us or we have to leave them in one way, finally. So, this I have heard from my spiritual master, he says, and through the knowledge of the self, inquiring about the self, I acquired the knowledge of the self and I understood that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence, none of them. And my real identity is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. I am eternal, I am pure, I am fully conscious, I am always liberated. This realization I have acquired from this world, says Bharata, isn't it? So, and that also made me realize that he says, I am Satya Chitta Anandam, I am eternal, I am blissful, I am full of knowledge, and Shanti is my nature, not excitement, Shanti, always in that peaceful state, and Sachidananda Bodham, pure consciousness I am. And in other words, there are so many words used in the Vedantam, just like the sky, it's pure Chitta, Chit or consciousness. just like clouds, the light and darkness, all these things, how it touches the sky, similarly, happiness, actually none of them touches the sky. They pass through the sky, but none of them touch the sky. Similarly, happiness, distress and I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, attachment, aversion, all these things never touches pure consciousness. This is the most important thing. Just like the sky is never touched by any of the clouds or the dust or the light or the darkness, similarly, my own consciousness, pure consciousness, is never touched by ragam, dvesham, attachment or aversion, kartrutvam or bhoktrutvam, I am the doer or I am the enjoyer, or even the happiness and distress of this world, none of them has anything to do with the self. So practically, what is Bharata Yogeshwara saying to Rahugana? All these are nothing but activities of the mind. Where is ragadvesham? It's in the mind. Where is kartrutva bhoktrutvam? It is in the mind. Everything is in the mind. So, prajna or consciousness or bodham is never touched by any of these things. And knowing this and realizing that, in the Shastram they call it as asparsha yoga. Asparsha yoga. Asparsha yoga means it cannot touch you. It never touches you. Asparsha. They call it as asparsha yoga. So, so not to get affected by any of these things and never be touched by any of these things, able to stay in this world. They give so many examples to make us understand. Like the boat. Boat is in the water, but water cannot enter into the boat. That way one has to stay. Therefore, to know the tattvam and to remain in this world like that. That is what Krishna is saying there. And you can also see that in the Bharata Rahugana Sambhadam, if you look, you will see there that Bharata Yogeshwara gave a very elaborate explanation to that. The way how the mind is the whole problem. Krishna talks about the mind so much. All the great devotees talks about the mind so much. Mind is behind everything. And that is why even in these verses also, Krishna, when he spoke about that, he mentions about the so many things. If you look into the fifth verse, he says, Savasana alma vishayo parakto gunapravaho vigradashodashalpa vibhrat pradangnama virubhavedam andar bahishtam japadaistanoti savasanalma vishayoparaktoho vasanalma, that vasana inside is it is the fifth verse in the 11th chapter of the fifth canto. That vasana will push us, savits everything. And this avidya, avidya we say, ajnanam or avidya, where is it? Where is that avidya? Avidya is in the mind, is it not? That is, you can see there in the ninth verse in the fifth canto of the 12th chapter, 5, 9, 12, 5, 12, 9. He says, evam nuryuktam chidishabda vrittam asannidhana paramanavoye avidyaya manasa kalpidaste esham samuhena krito visheshaha. That avidyaya manasa kalpidaste, he says, all this avidya is in the mind, and that mind manufactures everything. Avidyaya manasa kalpidaste. Avidya and the manasa, they go together. Mind is nothing but avidya. That is why repeatedly Krishna is saying that avidya one has to overcome. One has to overcome what is present in the mind. So the same thing you will see in the Bhagavatam when we look at in Ekadasha Skandam, in the 19th chapter, when we discussed about Jnanamargam, Krishna is saying here that the in the 5th verse, which we have talked about before, after talking about Jnanamargam, Krishna is saying there, Tasmad, again, Tasmad Jnanena Sahidam Jnatva Svalpanam Uddhava Jnana Vijnana Sambanno Vajamam Bhakti Bhavida. Tasmat jnanena sahidam. After realizing this knowledge from the Shastram, take it on board, he says to Uddhava. And then, jnatva svalpanam Uddhava, make it as your own. First to know it from the Shastram, and then you have to make it as your own. And then, jnana vijnana sambannaha, then to become completely owner, the whole ownership of that jnanam as well as the vijnanam. And then, bhajamam bhakti bhavidaham. So, jnana vijnana sambannam, Krishna says here, jnana vijnana sambannam, jnanam means shastra jnanam, knowledge of the shastram. And vijnanam means by proper assimilation of that knowledge and making it as what you call as realization or anubhuti. Anubhuti. That is called vijnanam. So, jnana vijnana sambannam. Jnana vijnana sambannam. So, both are required. Knowledge from the Shastram is jnanam. And that knowledge, what has been assimilated and acquired and made your own, that is vijnanam. So, from the mananam it comes. And after that, Krishna is saying, bhajamam bhakti bhavida, and develop bhakti from that. Naturally, a person who has got it, he will have bhakti for Krishna. He will have proper bhakti for Krishna. And bhakti bhavam, bhakti bhavida, that means that after that, all his transactions in this world will be without any ego. Without any ego. No trace of ego inside. And even in his vyavaharam, he will carry out with this bhakti bhavam. With the bhakti bhavam. And to live in this world in that happy state. This is the message from this chapter. This is the message from this chapter. So, this Gita Shastra Sangraham, Kamam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Malsaryam, Ragam, Dvesham. If all these things goes away from inside, Krishna says he will have the ultimate happiness in life and he will realize the truth. This is how Krishna finishes that verse. Now, after this, there is two more verses in this chapter. Now, so far, in this chapter, Krishna spoke about two things. One, divine nature, in the first four or five verses. And then, verse 7 onwards, I think, Krishna started discussing demoniac nature. And finally, Krishna concluded and told us that there are three gateways to hell, and that is kamam, krodham and lobham. Same thing you will see in the Bhagavatam, Krishna repeating it again. There is no change at all. These three things Krishna gives a lot of stress on, that kamam, krodham and lobham, and they are gateways to hell. After saying that, Krishna is saying now that all these things, in order to follow this seriously, one has to have strict adherence to Shastra. There is no question of moving away from the Shastram and doing things on one's own. If you do that, it will not work. This is what he is pointing out in the two verses. In the next two verses, Krishna has given for stressing this importance of Shastram. Remember yesterday when we spoke about Vedam is the authority. There is no question there that you cannot question the authority of the Vedam, because all the great authorities or the followers of the Vedic religion, Vedic philosophy, even though they may differ in philosophical concept, all of them accept the authority of the Vedam. They all spoke based on the authority of the Vedam. If Vedam is not behind them, all their siddhantam, conclusions, have no meaning. It has no support. So that is why it is mentioned there. So let's look at that verse, 22nd verse, isn't it? 22nd.
Eter vimukta kaunteya tamo dvaras tribirnaraha ajaratyatmana shreyas tato yadi paramgatim. Eter vimukta kaunteya tamo dvaras tribirnaraha ajaratyatmana shreyas tato yadi paramgatim. Yes. First thing, eder vimukta kaunteya tato tamodvare stribhir narehi acharati atmana shreyas tato yadi paramgatim. Krishna says, the man who has escaped these three gates of hell, O son of Kunti, performs acts which are conducive to self-realization and thus gradually attain the supreme destination. So Krishna practically is telling us the importance of what he has spoken before. When he said that these three gateways to hell, which one? Lust, anger and greed, kamam, krodham and loham. If one has escaped from that, then more or less Krishna says he is on the path towards realization of the self, self-realization. So, ede vimuktaha, you can see, ede vimukta kaunteya tamo dvarehi tamaso naragasya dukha mohalmagasya dvarani kamadayateihi etehi tribi vimukto naraha acharati anutishtadikim alpana shreyoyal pratibaddhapurva na achachara tat abhagavan acharati tat tadacharana yadi paramgadi moksham api idi. So, one who gives up kamam, kamam means generally desires, one who gives up kamam and he does things in such a way that to progress in the path of spiritual life, in the path of spiritual life, even though he has not done things for the benefit of spiritual advancement in his life, if you ask him why you are doing it now, Krishna says, you don't have to ask that question, because these three things, if it goes away from a person, which one? Kamam, krodham and lobham. Automatically that person will progress in the spiritual path. He doesn't have to work for it anymore. Getting rid of things is spiritual life, not getting in, getting more things, getting rid of things. That is the point Krishna is saying here. That you may not know about the soul. We may have no idea about the soul. We may have no understanding or realization of the soul. But what Krishna is saying is that if kamam, krodham and lobham has left a person completely,
then he will naturally know what soul is without anyone telling him. He doesn't have to endeavor for that separately. That's the point here. See that? Eter vimukta kaunteya tamodvare stribhir nara ajarati almana shreyas tato yandi parangadim. Just by practicing this in such a way that kamam krotham lobham has left a person completely, Krishna is saying there that ajarati almana shreyas tato yandi parangadim. He is already in the auspicious path towards self-realization. Because if kamam krotham lobham has left a person, then he cannot think about matter anymore. It will be fixed in the spirit. It will be spiritual. His nature will be spiritual. Why kamam krotham lobham? Because of attachment to matter. Isn't it? Matter is what is causing this problem, attachment to matter. In some form, whatever it is. Attachment to matter brings kamam, krotham and lobham. But the moment one is freed from kamam, krotham and lobham, Krishna is saying he is already on the path of spiritual life. He is on his way up. On his way up. So, sarvasya edasya asuri sambat parivarjanasya shreya acharanasya cha shastram karanam shastra pramanam uda ubhayam shakyam kartam na anyatha atha. So, in order to free oneself from this asuric nature, asuri svabhavam, in order to give up that and come to the divine nature, Krishna says here, the weapon for that is shastram. Shastram, utilizing shastram, one should get over the asuric nature. Otherwise, it is not possible, he says. Otherwise, it is not possible. That is the next two verses. That's what it is. Importance of shastram. That if you do not depend on shastram, it will be difficult to get rid of. No course, no seminar is going to make us spiritual. What will make us spiritual is shastram. Shastram is the only way. There is no other way. Krishna is saying that, stressing that point again. That this sarvasya etat edasya asuri sambat parivarjanasya. In order to throw away that asuri sambat, shreya acharanasya, and in order to come to that shreyas nature, cha shastram karanam. Shastram is the supporting force for that. Shastra pramanad ubhayam shakyam kartam, and all his karmam must come through shastram. Shastram must be the pramanam, and through that shastra pramanam kartum na anyadha kartadaha, not otherwise. So strong comment on that. So who is Krishna referring to here? Those who have escaped from that three gates. Which one? Kamam, krotham and lobham. So, Krishna says, Almanaha Shreya Acharati. Almanaha Shreya Acharati means that they know that whatever they do will only be helping them to progress on the path of spiritual life. In a natural way, it happens to them. Almanaha Shreya Acharati. Whatever they do, in a natural way, it will make them progress on the path of spiritual life. And whatever they do in this world, it will be auspicious for them. Shreyas, in other words. So, from these words you can see one more interesting thing. Krishna is telling us, look after your Shreyas first. Don't worry about the world. See that? If you look at the words, you will see there. Almani, Almana Shreyas. Krishna is completely different. From in the modern world, we think that we have to change the world first and then I will change after that. Is it not? That is the current understanding. We are very busy in changing the whole world, but in that process we have forgotten about ourselves. So, but Krishna is saying to us, Acharati Almana Shreyas, change yourself. Follow this process, what Krishna has spoken. And tato yadi parangarim, and you will be on the properly situated. And a person who changes himself, he can do the greatest benefit to the world. He can do the greatest benefit to the world. Because in a natural way, a person who has realized the self, only when he lives his life based on that self-realization, then for that person, he says here, tato yadi parangadim, his gati, his destination will be auspicious, will be auspicious. And for that person, he will ultimately reach self-realization and he will have perfection, shanti and bliss in his life. So, so the things what Krishna has spoken so far, why someone is not able to go in the path of spiritual life or realizing the self? Because of these three things. Kamam, Krodham and Lobham. These three things are the blockage there, not allowing us to go in the processes, and they will come and stand in front of us now and then. Time and again they'll keep coming to us. So therefore he is not in a position to execute his dharmam properly, and he is not able to go in the process of realizing the knowledge of the, acquiring the knowledge of the self. Even though everything looks so beautiful in the Bhagavad Gita, we are not able to do it. Is it not? And what's the reason behind it? These three. Kamam, Krodham and Lobham. These three things, Krishna is saying, they will come and they will stand in front of us and won't allow us to do the dharmam, what Krishna has spoken before, and will not be able to acquire the knowledge of the self also because of that. Once that block has gone, and then very easily the self-knowledge will become, the process will become a lot easier. And so for liberation, the main problem Krishna is saying here, these three things, lust, anger and greed, kamam, krodham and lobham. And what the spiritual master is supposed to do, what the shastram is supposed to do, and what Krishna's grace is supposed to do, is to remove these three from inside. Kamam, Krodham and Lobham. What the spiritual master is supposed to do, what shastram is supposed to do, what Krishna's grace is supposed to do, is to take out these three things from inside. So, and once they have gone away from inside, in a natural way, Atma will start showing its power from inside. Antaryami will come out on its own, and that is what it is mentioned here also, that the that tadavi that it mentions that kim atmanesh pratibaddha purvam na ajaj tad avagamat acharati tadatla acharanan yadi param gadim moksham abhi idi. After these three things have gone away from inside, we talk about this in different language. In bhakti process, when we say, what do we say? We say, oh, I'm not pure. Is that what we say, isn't it? I have to purify myself. So that purification is chanting. Chanting the holy name to purify ourselves from this kamam, krodham, lobham. They know very well, all the acharyas, all the great souls, they know very well that these three things are, as long as they are inside, as long as they are three these things inside, whatever that is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam will not go inside. It will go in different directions. Why? Because these three inside will block it. Will block it. Same thing, in the Jnana Margam they will say Chitta Shuddhi, purification of the Chitta. Vasana Chayam, they call it. Removing all the Vasana. What is Vasana? Vasana is nothing but these three only. Kamam, Krodham, Lobham. In the form of Kamam, Vasana is there. In the form of Krodham, Vasana is there. In the form of Lobham, Vasana is there. So removal of that, that is what is mentioned. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see that our Karna Nadi is blocked. We are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. What is blocking? Kamam, Krodham, Lobham. So from all angles, if you look at it, Krishna is saying to us that a spiritual master, a Shastram, or even Krishna's grace is all to take out this Kamam, Krodham, Lobham from inside. And this Kamam, Krodham, Lobham is nothing but the external manifestation of the Ragam and Dvesham inside. Remember, Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. If you remember in the beginning, in the second chapter, Ragad Dvesham Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran. He says, because there is Ragad Dvesham inside, one continuously goes through the sense enjoyment process. And then what does he say there? Alpa Vashe Vithaya Alpa Prasadam Adhikachadi. Isn't it? That means immediately, once Ragad Dvesham has gone from inside, Alpa Vashe Vithaya Alpa, he will be completely under the shelter of the Alpa, Krishna inside. There will be no more inquiring after, because Kamam has gone, so there is no more sense enjoyment left for him in this world. He is not attached to any more sense enjoyment. Kamam, Krodham, Lobham, these three things. So Krishna generally summarized this whole chapter in that verse through Kamam, Krodham and Lobham. That is what he is saying there. Then he says that the shelter is Shastram. Krishna is going to say that. That is the next thing. Shastram is the shelter for this. Because without the help of Shastram, it is not possible to come out of it. It's not possible to come out of that. So that is why they call it as Anushasanam. Shruti says Anushasanam. That means Shastram says to us, in order to remove this Kamam, Krodham and Lobham from inside, live in a particular way in this world. Live in a particular way in this world. You will see in the Upanishads mentioned, Satyam Vada, Dharmam Chara, so many things, isn't it? Upanishads talks about it. Speak the truth, always stay in the path of Dharma. What for? To get rid of these three from inside. Edad Anushasanam. Anushasanam means anything that there you can't negotiate. That is the difference. Anushasanam means you can't negotiate there. You have to accept it as it is. And that is Shastram. And because Shastram is saying to us, because Shastram is concerned about our future and tells us that anything that is spoken with keeping in mind our welfare, our benefit. Evam upasidavyam and dharmam upasidavyam, satyam upasidavyam, and that brings shreyas, ultimately benefit for. And is spoken like this because it is Shastram. Shastram is like that. And when, because it is like that, it is this principle, what I was saying, mentioning yesterday, that Acharya Swamiji in the Bhashyam, he caught on this point very strongly. And he said that you can worship different forms in this world, but if you are not following the Shastram, your worship also won't bring the results. Worship also won't bring the results. That is how important Shastram is. If you ignore Shastram and if you do anything in this world, it is much more interesting. I'll come to that in the next paragraph. That when Shastram, suppose in this world, we see a lot of people with a lot of good qualities, isn't it? Great, great personalities. They have a lot of good qualities also. Now, you may follow them thinking that that is the right thing to do. Acharya Swamiji says, no, it's not. The right thing to do is to follow the Shastra. Even they have to follow Shastra. This is where the difficulty is. It is a little bit complicated thing. Most of us, our general nature, if we see someone with some good qualities, we follow him. Is it not? He may have good qualities, but if he has not realized the truth as mentioned in the Shastram, we will say, we will pay our respects to him, but we will not follow him. This is the principle. So powerful is Shastram. If you ignore Shastram and you do what you will do in this world, Krishna is saying ultimately it will flop. It has to flop. It won't work. This is the value they have given to Shastram. Acharya Swamiji caught on this and he stressed this and wrote very strongly about it. Let's look at that. He says here that the people who wrote this Shastram, wrote means it's not writing, there somebody came and wrote a book like that. That's not how it came out. He says here, Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, it didn't drop from the sky one night, isn't it? So this is actually the Rishi's anubhuti, Rishi's realizations, isn't it? So this realization became the authority. See that? They didn't write a book and say that this is the authority. Instead, what did they say to us? They said, this is our realizations. And Acharya says to us that that realization is our authority. Realization is our authority. Because why did he say that? So that you don't start manufacturing something new. What they have realized, that alone is acceptable. Nothing else. This is the way Vedic position is like that. Otherwise, what will happen is everybody will start interpreting and serving different in the name of spiritual life. No, that's not acceptable. What the rishis have realized, that alone is acceptable. Only their realization is acceptable. That means those rishis, you know who they are. In the Bhagavatam, they keep coming again and again, isn't it? At different places, you can see. When Parikshit Maharaj was going to give up his body through Prayopavesham, all the great personalities arrived there. And Vedavyasas listed them there. And in several instances in the Bhagavatam, you will see these rishis coming back. They have given us this wealth, Upanishads. And that is what he's saying here. And so there, and he mentions there. So their realization, Acharya kept it as our authority. And that is the science behind it. That is the science behind it. And then he's saying here, keep this as your Shastram, as your authority, and you should continue in that way, in this life. Otherwise, if you start doing things as you like, and or somebody else is saying something, that's not acceptable. Shastram is always the Pramana. Pramana means authority. So, it is one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita, because in our life, we need that authority. We need an authority. Otherwise, you are just wandering around. Like in the Bhagavatam, remember Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas, Harava Bhaktasya Kudo Mahal Guna Mano Radhenasani Dhavado Bahi. Manoratha means mental chariot. We'll work according to our mind if we do not accept Shastram. So after saying, so Gita Shastram, Upanishad Shastram, one has to accept it and one has to keep the life centered around the Bhagavad Gita's principle. And more important than that, all the karma, what one does in this world, should be based on the Shastram. People think that we have to do karmam in this world and Shastram should support the karmam. It's not like that. Because you can see this problem. This is important. In the Vedam, there is Karmagandam, isn't it? There is Karmagandam. Karmagandam is a very major portion of the Vedam. And then there is, we have Dharma Shastram. Shastram related to Dharma. For example, Manusmriti, Parashara Smriti, so much Smriti also there. So Karmagandam is there, Smriti is there. Now, based on that, life has to be constructed. The life has to be built up based on the basis of that. But what Krishna is saying here is not referring to that. That is the interesting thing. See, this is the Bhagavad Gita's, how up to date Bhagavad Gita is with this world. Karmagandam, who can follow Karmagandam today? The way Karmagandam is, and who can follow Smriti today? Nobody can do that, can he? Because There's very few people who have the knowledge of karmakandam and very few people who are capable of doing the karma based on the karmakandam, number one. Secondly, who knows dharma shastram properly today? How many people are aware of dharma shastram and how many people are able to follow dharma shastram properly? Neither of them is possible. Karmakandam or dharma shastram. When we say dharma shastram, we refer to the smriti. Manusmriti, Parashara smriti and Gautama smriti. There are so many rishis have given smriti also. Now, here Krishna is not referring to that. Not referring to that. What Krishna is saying to us is, this is the way Bhagavad Gita presents to us. And this is not a deviation from the Vedam. What Krishna is pointing out to us is that Bhagavad Gita in its Karma Yogam chapters, that means from first to sixth chapters, which refers to karmam, Krishna has told us the underlying principle of karmakandam. Do you remember that? What Krishna says there? Krishna is saying to us that in the Bhagavad Gita, when you execute karmam, whatever that has happened through us, for example, if you look at the 11th canto, in the 3rd chapter, there is a verse there, where in the 3rd chapter, this is a repetition of the karmakandam in the Bhagavad Gita by the Navayogis. They mentions there, Avirhotra says this, in the 3rd chapter, verse 43. Karmam akarmam vigarmedi vedavadau na laugigam vedasya isharatmatval tatra muhyandi suraya. See that? He says, karmam akarmam vigarmam karma karma vigarmedi vedavadau na laugigam. In the Bhagavad Gita, we discussed this, if you remember, karmam, akarmam, vigarmam, what they are, we have spoken before. So that karmam, akarmam, vigarmam, Avirhotra is saying here to Srinarada Mahakrishna, to Vasudeva and Devaki, sorry, to King Nimi, that karmam, akarmam, karma, akarma, vigarmedi, vedavadau na laugika. Though followers of Vedam, they will follow that, karma, karma, akarma, vigarmam. But Vedasya Isharatmatval Tatra Muhyandi Suraya. This Vedam, how it presents karmam to us, it actually baffles even the learned people. They also find it difficult to explain that. So therefore, you can see karmakandam is accepted. But when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying here, I'm not referring to that karmakandam, but karma karma vikarmedi. That means in the Vedavadav na laugiyaha atra muhyandi surayaha. What is karmam? What is vikarmam? What is akarmam? These three things Bhagavad Gita has given us an understanding of that in the first six chapters. You remember that? So what is Krishna saying there? That in Krishna's words, according to our swabhavam, remember, according to our swabhavam, it comes in the form of karmam through us, isn't it? Swabhavam comes through us in the form of karmam. And that swabhava vihidam, that means swabhava jainadu kaundeya, Krishna says, that karmam that is coming through this body, according to our swabhavam, and how to get over that karmam, because ultimately we have to free ourselves from the karmam. And the knowledge that is necessary to do that properly, that shastram is Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is that shastram which helps a person to execute his karmam according to his swabhavam and able to get over his karmam in that way. Karmam is a bondage. Karma means bondage. We are bound by karmam, isn't it? So we have to free ourselves from the karmam. And to free ourselves from the karmam, Krishna is saying to us that we have spoken about it in the early six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, karmam, akarmam, vikarmam. And it is that science which will help us by to get rid of the karmam from us, which has come to us due to our swabhava. Swabhavam created karma means the vasana, in other words. Vasana has created karma for us today. Whatever karma we are doing in this world is due to vasana behind it. So, while doing this karma, which has come through vasanas, how to free from that, that science is what Krishna is talking about here. Not the karmagandam side. Yeah? Karmagandam is what is in the Vedam. But when it came to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has put it much more practical for us to make us understand that you have to escape from karma somehow or the other. There is no other way. Because karma means bondage. Karma means there is vasana inside. That's why there is karma. And when there is vasana, there is karma. And karma means more bondage after that. Is it not? So it is an entanglement, this thing called karma. To escape from this karma, there is only one way, Krishna is saying, that whatever karma is happening today is due to your svabhava. And any karma that's coming through this body is according to the svabhava inside, what that person has. That comes out in the form of karma outside. Now, how to free yourself from that karma, svabhava jena kaundaya, that karma, that process is what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. How to free oneself from that. And if one does it in that way, in the way it's spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, he will get released from the karma. That is what Krishna is saying here. He will get released from the karma. Look at the next words. That's what Krishna is saying there. Then, text 23.
Yashastram vidhimul srajyam vartate kama karatam Nasa siddhimavapnodi Nasukham na paramgadim Yashastram vidhimul srajya Vartade kama karata Nasa siddhimavapnodi Nasukham na paramgadim.
That is it. That is what it is. You see, this is how Krishna again stressing the importance of Shastram. If you don't take Shastram into account and if you act independently without consulting the Shastram in this life, you won't get released from the karma. Krishna is saying to us, you won't get released from the karma. You may be very good, you may be doing wonderful things in this world. You may be very helpful to the whole society in this world. And you may be doing wonderful and fantastic things here. All useless, Krishna is saying. Why? Because the thing what you have to get from that is not happening. Purpose of everything is to get released from the bondage of karma, isn't it? In order that to happen, Krishna is saying, in the early chapters I have discussed karmam, agarmam, vigarmam. And the secret behind that is that by executing this karmam with the full knowledge of karmam, agarmam, vigarmam, and engaging in karma with that understanding in such a way that all the ragadvesham is wiped out from inside, kartrutva bhoktrutvam is wiped out from inside. So ultimately, after executing this karma, when a person comes out, he should be free from all these things. He should be free from all these things. That is the point Krishna is making here. Ya shastram vidhimul srijya vartade kamakaradaham Nasa siddhimavapnodi, nasukham, naparam gadim. A person who doesn't care for the shastram, he does things on his own, he will never get anywhere. That is the point he is saying. Nasa siddhimavapnodi, he will never become perfect in his life. Nasukham, naparam gadim. He will never be, there will be no happiness in his life. Naparam gadim. His ultimate destination also, he won't get there. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. That's the important point. So in all aspects he'll be a failure. He will fail. Ultimately he'll fail. Sometimes you can see this when we don't follow Shastram, when certain setbacks comes in life, because generally people work on their desires, isn't it? Based on desires, they keep on working in this world. And working, sometimes results don't come. then they cry, I worked so hard, but results didn't come the way I expected. So only then he'll start thinking, why did that happen? I've done everything I can. Sometimes you'll see in the examination sometimes, children. They studied well, they've done the exam, they wrote well. When the results came, they failed. Often it happens, very often. They think they have done well. I've done everything what I have to do. But when the results came, it's not there. The list, it is not there in the list. Why? Why is that? We'll come to that later. Krishna is discussing all that. That look at this, he said. That is why, remember? Nakarma bhalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartade. Earlier itself, in the 4th or 5th chapter, Krishna said that. Karma and bhalam, that samyogam, cannot be justified. He's saying there. Svabhavastu pravartade. All the time in the world, you can see, people go on working, working, working. Some people, without work also, they get results. Some people work whole life, they didn't get the result. How will you explain that to anybody? We will say, oh no, he has worked very hard, so he got it. Somebody, you didn't work, that's why you didn't get it. But sometimes the other way it happens. So this is the secret of the karma. That once you understand Bhagavad Gita's explanation to karma, then you will get free from a lot of anxiety about things in life. So nothing you can do about it, because what is coming through us, first of all, the mistake is we are doing the karma. That itself is the big blunder, isn't it? Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyade. There itself everything has gone wrong. And after that, not only kartaham, again we say, oh, I worked so hard and the result must be there. Why there is no result? I've done so much for that. And then once he gets one or two kicks like that from the nature, then he starts a little bit thinking about it. There's something more to it than that. Otherwise, initially, especially in the youth, when one is full of energy and all other qualifications and all in life, he's thinking everything will work according to my plan. And he starts his big journey in this world with that idea. Only after a few years, when things start failing, then he starts opening his eyes and start thinking about it. So Krishna says that before, if you remember, na karma bhalasam yogam, svabhavastu pravartade. Svabhavam is working. Karmam and bhalam, there is no samyogam between the two. So that is the point Krishna is saying. So with all this understanding has to come from Shastram. Where else will it come from? Who else is going to say to us? If you are working for a company, company will say it is result oriented. They'll tell you. Your bonus will be result oriented. And you're thinking that, oh, if I work very hard, then the results will come, £1 million like, or £2 million, like Barclays had given the bonus. Oh, everything is working according to the plan. You got your £1 million, next day you had a heart attack and you died. What's your £1 million will do with you? So these are so many things to look at. And Krishna's point is that karmam and bhalam, this karma bhalam also, after you got the bhalam, if you cannot use it, what's the use of that bhalam? Bhalam, karmam is not complete there. Remember, when we discussed karmam, we spoke about all these things. That when does the karmam finish? For a karmi, karmam finishes when the result has come. Is it not? For one who follows the shastram, for him, when does the karmam finish? When the karma vasana inside is completely gone, then his karmam is finished. Otherwise, his karmam is not over, because this karmam has created more vasana inside and has gone. So, has the karmam finished or has the karmam got further extension of life? Is it not? So, that is a danger there. So, Krishna is saying here, ya shastra vidimul srijya vartade kama karata na sa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na parangadim. So, first thing what Krishna is saying here is that in Vedam this Karmagandam is there, and there is Anushtanam based on the Karmagandam. That means those who are following it, those who are born in that tradition, Karmagandam, who study, who follow the Karmagandam rigidly, they are there. And what else he does is, if he leaves that, say for example, those who are born in that tradition of Karmakandam, like Vaidika Brahmana, who are supposed to follow that tradition rigidly, Vaidika Brahmana, chanting the Vedam and live according to that, that principle of the Karmakandam. If they do that, then they will escape. They will escape. But that does not mean, suppose he gives up that, instead of following the Karmakandam, he decided that, there is much easier way of making a good living without chanting the Vedam. We'll go to America and work there, make a lot of money. Why sit there and chant this Vedam? And life is a struggle all the way through. Krishna is saying, if he does that, he'll be in trouble. He will be in trouble. He'll be in trouble. And he will never reach perfection if he does that for himself. On the other hand, the reason being, he says, according to his desire, kamam, kamam is inside, he started doing things. That is what has caused the problem, isn't it? Because he has desires inside, he gave up the tradition of Karmakandam, what he is supposed to follow. He gave that up and felt that I am not going to follow this Karmakandam anymore. You know, the punishment they get is much more than the punishment we get for giving it up. They will get very heavy punishment because Krishna is saying in the Bhagavadam, Brahmanasya hi dehoyam kshudra kamaya neshyade. I have given him a body particularly suitable for self-realization. All he has to do is to follow what he has been given to him. But instead, if he throws it away on Krishna's face and goes and does something what he thinks is good for him, Krishna will punish more. He will have to go back to lower births a lot more. So they often, those who are conscious of that, they don't do it. Those who are not conscious of that, they do it. And they will find a lot of excuse for doing this. Basically, it is desires inside. You will see in Chandrasekhara Saraswati talking about it very, very strongly. He said, initially they will leave their village and they'll say, oh, if you go to the city, we can make more money than living in the village. Village, who will give the money? Then they say, the city is not good enough, goes abroad somewhere, there's more money there. Salary, salary, salary. Looking at the salary. And it goes on. So that is the point. So Karmakandam is like that. And that difference Krishna is saying here. Now, those who are following the Karmakandam, those who have followed that tradition, if they leave it behind and go into another way of life, jobs in other words, and other ways of making money, they will get into trouble. They'll get into trouble. Now, that comment or explanation is not wrong in the context of Bhagavad Gita. It's not wrong. What it is, those who are following that Karmakandam, those who are following the Karmakandam, and those who are executing it properly in their life, their parampara will protect them. You see the subtlety of all these things, which we don't notice all these things. The Karmakandam, who have come to that, who were given a body in that Karmakanda Paddhati, in their tradition. And those who are following that rigidly, without deviating from that, and do not run after wealth in this world, they will escape, Krishna is saying. They will escape. Because that is what they are supposed to do. Remember yesterday, I was mentioning that Krishna has drawn a circle around them. And their liberation is depending on what they do, because that's what's been given to them, if they do that. But here, in this verse, what Krishna is saying is not that. Here what Krishna is saying, a shastram vidimul srijya, that is not what it means. Here Krishna is saying here, that the whole karma siddhantam, Krishna has spoken in the first 6 chapters. Remember that? You must go back to those 6 chapters and read Bhagavad Gita all the time to keep all these things in our thoughts. Otherwise, how could you do it? then that Karma Kandam's first Karma Yogam chapter, 6 chapters, what we come out of that, listening to that, you will see there, and the whole Siddhantam, Krishna has spoken about Karmam there, how to execute Karmam, what does Karmam means, and what is Kartava means. All these things were spoken in that chapter. And finally, when Krishna concludes Bhagavad Gita, in one verse, the whole Karma philosophy, he brought it. In the 18th chapter, if you look, you will see in the 14th verse. Have a look at that. See how nicely everything is coordinated in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into that 14th verse in the 18th chapter, where Krishna is saying there, Adhishtanam Tada Karta. See that? Adhishtanam tadha karta karanam cha prithak vidham vividas cha prithak cheshta devam chaivatra panchamam. That's that verse. It's a very important verse. Adhishtanam tadha karta karanam cha prithak vidham vividas cha prithak cheshta devam chaivatra panchamam. The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul, these are the five factors of action. These are the five factors of action. Now, first we have to understand this verse properly to understand what Shastram is saying to us. So here, Krishna is saying, Adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha pradak vidham vividascha pradak cheshta devam jaivatra panchamam. Devam jaivatra panchamam. So five causes Krishna has spoken there in relationship with karma, isn't it? Karma, Krishna is saying, these five factors influence karma. What are they? Adhishtanam, karta, and karanam, and then the effort. Karanam cha pradak vidham, vividascha pradak cheshta. The cheshta, and finally, devam. Finally, devam. So, adhishtanam, karta, karanam, cheshta, and devam. Devam chaivatra panchamam, he says here. So, here let's try to understand this verse. Then you will see how it relates to the first 6 chapters of the Gita. Adhishtanam means, what does adhishtanam means? Adhishtanam, generally when adhishtanam means, the translated word is substratum, basis, in other words, the basis. The basis, or what we have brought with us as our resource. We all have some resource, what we have brought with us from previous life. That is our adhishtanam. That is called adhishtanam. So that is why, generally in this context in Bhagavad Gita, adhishtanam means body, our body. This is the body what we have got. Body means, body includes the mind, the intelligence, the ego, senses, everything. All this package, what we have got here, is called adhishtanam. It's called adhishtanam. Generally, if you say adhishtanam in Brahma Sutram, adhishtanam is Brahmam. Adhishtanam is Brahmam. But here, because we are discussing about karmam, which the topic is karmam, here, in the topic, in this, here, the adhishtanam is relating to the body, not to Brahmam. So, adhishtanam is a general word, which will give you two different meanings at different places. Adhishtanam basically means it is a basis on which everything is happening. When it refers to Brahmam, most of the words in the Brahma Sutram refers Adhishtanam as Brahmam. Adhishtanam is Brahmam. Because if Adhishtanam is Brahmam, or if you take it as Alma, Alma is Brahmam. That is not wrong. But in this particular verse, you can't use it as adhishtanam. Adhishtanam as Brahmam. Here, instead it is mentioned here, because here you can see in this verse, apart from adhishtanam, karta is there, karanam is there, cheshta is there, devam is there. Four other things. Because these four are there, adhishtanam in Brahma Sutram is different than the adhishtanam here in this verse. In Brahma Sutra, whenever it's mentioned adhishtanam, it is Brahmam. Brahmam is the adhishtanam. Always. But here, in the Bhagavad Gita, in this verse, Adhishtanam refers to this body, or our package, what we have brought with us. Yeah. So, here if you take this Adhishtanam, is no, instead of Atma, it has to be taken as the body. Instead of taking as the body. So, otherwise, Karanam, Karta, Cheshta, this will all go away. If you refer to Atma, Atma has no Karanam, Karta, Cheshta, none of them. So, but because it is Karanam, Karta, Cheshta, everything spoken in this verse, you have to take this verse, Adhishtanam, as body. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything together. So here, Adhishtanam is the resource what we have brought with us, with this, in this life. That means this, we have got a body, we have got a mind, we have got intelligence and other things. And all of us has got us in different ways, this thing. It's, what we have got is different, isn't it? Our capital, what we can invest, or the Adhishtanam, what we have got, is different for all of us in this body, isn't it? So, this, based on this Adhishtanam, we operate in this world, is it not? Suppose, our body will dictate to us what kind of karma I am capable of doing here. Depending on my intelligence, depending on my mental nature of my mind, depending on my body, I will operate in this world, isn't it? For example, a person who has a very strong body and who is very athletic, he will be attracted to the sports. He will find that as his, because the package he has brought with him is suitable for that. Similarly, another person who is very much talented in the musical direction or things like that, his body, his whole package is suitable for that, and he will go in that direction. Similarly, someone who is literally minded, literature and things like that, who is attracted by that, because his vasanas are attracting them towards that, all his activities, if you observe, you will see that everything will be centered around that. And then there are other people, some people who have other talents also. We call it as talent and all, but it's basically the vasana inside that's working from within. We call it in a very polished way. Oh, he's got this skill and talent and all that. What skill, what talent? It's all vasana inside, flowing out in some form. So whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That vasana that comes out, centered around that, this package will operate in this world. This package will operate in this world. And it is no point in telling him anything else. It's not going to work. Because it is in that situation, if you tell him, because his attachment is there inside him. A man who is attracted to the sports, there is attachment inside towards that sports. Same thing with the music, same thing with the literature, same thing with engineering, same thing with so many other things. Inside, this attachment is very strong in the form of vasanas inside. So, that means, that baggage what he brought with him, the bag, what he has brought with him, that is his Adhishtanam. See that Adhishtanam word, how it comes out in this verse? If you only understand this Adhishtanam properly, because Adhishtanam in this verse is the key word there. Adhishtanam is driving everything. You see, Adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha pratak vidham. Senses are there. They will operate in different ways based on what? Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam will influence the senses and will force the senses to operate in a particular way. Adhishtanam tatha karta. Karanamcha prithak vidham, vividascha prithak cheshta, devam chaivatra panchamam. What it does is that, vividascha prithak cheshta, and it through senses and through this gross body, cheshta, it will cheshta. Cheshta means it will do things, act in that, based on that. The word used is, cheshta is translated here as the endeavor, isn't it? It will be like that. So, because, so depending on that Adhishtanam inside, sometimes he will see the things properly and he will make the decision in the proper way. And sometimes he won't see things properly because his adhishtanam is not right. You can see in this life itself, we are in this flow of life, isn't it? All of us, in this flow of life, it's going through this. We are making so many decisions and doing different things. It depends on what? The adhishtanam. Adhishtanam makes the decisions from there. Adhishtanam is telling us, do this, because vasana inside will dictate to us from inside. That's what we call it as decision making. Decision making. So, sometimes we won't see things properly. We won't hear things properly. And sometimes the body is strong enough to do certain things. Sometimes the body is not. When the body is not capable of doing things, what will you do? You will give it up. You will say, I can't do it anymore. I gave up. I can't do it. What can I do? Is it not? So, similarly, sometimes you are very musical. You are able to sing. Because inside vasana is pushing to sing. So, same thing you can see. Some people are artistic. They can draw pictures, isn't it? Very good in drawing. Vasana is inside. Forcing them to, it comes out. And similarly, sometimes you want to thief. You want to thief things. Why? Vasana is inside. You want to become it. Not that, you have thought about it. No. Vasana is saying in from, adhishtanam is such, that so depending on the adhishtanam, karmam will change. Not the other way. Oh, we don't think, oh, everything I have thought about it and I made the decision, we will say. You haven't thought about it and there was no decision made. Decision is already made inside. Adhishtanam will make that decision. So only thing is the karmam comes out through that body. And what Krishna is saying here, everything depends what is in that bag. Called adhishtanam, in that bag. That depending on the what is in the bag, your karanam, your cheshta, and karanam cha pradak vidham, vividascha pradak cheshta. All these things is dependent on the what is in that bag inside. And and when you become successful, what do you think about that? What happens at that time? He does not understand that it is the after effect of his previous karma. He won't know that. He doesn't think like that. And so, based on the adhishtanam, karta, he will do the things, and karanam, senses will operate in this world in various ways, and vividascha pratyak cheshta. Cheshta means the activities of the body, and finally, the result will come. And when the result comes, devam chaivatra panchamam. You see that word devam? And devam here is what we call as prarabdham. Devam will act. And devam is the fifth factor in there. And when devam, here it is used, the word is devam. Devam, you can call it as destiny, fate, whichever way you like it. But what devam actually means is that based on the karmam you have done in your previous life, the after effect of that will come as your result. And that is why that result is not matching with your effort. Because of this. See that verse? Trividham adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha pradak vidham vividascha pradak cheshta devam chaivatra panjamam. If we keep all these things, then you won't get disappointed when results don't come. That is what it is. What can you do about it? You can work very, very hard. It's not guaranteed. The result is not guaranteed. All other things you can talk about it, but devam chaivatra panjamam. That devam is not in your control. That is the problem. Devam chaivatra panjamam. That is why Krishna is saying that is a fifth factor which normally people don't look into. So, as I mentioned before, devam chaivatra panchamam. You have worked very hard, the result didn't come. So, unknown power is operating there, and that is the fifth one. After saying all these things, Krishna is saying here that all these things applies to whom? That's the next question. These things, what Krishna has spoken, all these things applies to whom? To one who is a jnani, who has not realized the truth. It is for him all these rules apply. Which one? This thing. For a jnani. That includes us also. Don't think we are all jnanis here, sitting here. It does not apply. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, all of us in this room, I mean, if somebody has realized, it's our good fortune, but it doesn't happen so far, as far as I understand. So, we are in that category. Then, because we are engaged in karma, a jnani doesn't engage in karma. And if a karma comes through a jnani, it won't be like this, the way it's coming through us. Is it not? So, jnani, for him, adhishtanam is atma, not the body. For us, so long as we are in the bodily concept of life, and so long as we have slight trace of attachment with this body, adhishtanam is still the body. Adhishtanam is still the body. And as long as this identification with the body is there, then that means we have not realized what our swarupam is, who we are. We don't know who we are. We don't know that we are not this body. We don't know we are not this mind. And a person who has realized the truth, he knows that he is not in the body, he is Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. That stage he is. Is it not? So, till you realize Aham Brahmasmi stage, or Aham Brahmasmi realization comes, this word applies. Which one? This Adhishtanam Tathakarta Karanamcha Pradak Vidham Vividascha Pradak Cheshta Devam Chaivatra Panchaman. Now, this is one thing. A summary of that Karma Yogam chapters Krishna put in the 18th chapter while talking about karma. So, another thing is that even though there are a few more things to know about karma, Krishna mentioned before, if you remember in the 4th chapter, karmanya karmaya pashyet akarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmakrit. There was a verse, I think it was the 18th verse, in the 4th chapter, 18th verse, if you look there, we talked about that also before. Unfortunately, this Karma Yoga requires again and again and again reflect through that, because it has a, if you try to take out karma away, people are saying we don't have any karma, we have no devotees, we have no karma, they're saying. Oh, we handed over everything to the spiritual master and the others, so we don't have anything to answer anymore. If it was like that, it's been so simple. But it's not so. So there you can see there in the 18th verse what Krishna says. Krishna says there that karmanya karmaya pashyet akarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karmakrat. One who sees inaction in action, and action in inaction, is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. Now, when we discuss that chapter, we have spent a lot of time talking about it. So, it's not possible to go back to it again now and go through it, because it's taken a long time then. So, we'll take it this way, that Krishna says, sa buddhiman. He says, buddhiman manusheshu sa yukta krishna karmakat. So, that person, he says, who is intelligent? Krishna is asking that question. Who knows that? Who is doing the karma? Who is doing actually the karma? That person who has no attachment to that karma and who doesn't get bound by that karma. On the other hand, one who is able to get rid of all the vasana from inside by engaging in karma. Remember that. One who is able to, who has no attachment to the karma. Attachment to the karma. He's not attached to the karma. Either in the karma or its results. And he is not bound by the karma. And at the same time, when the karma is completed, all his vasanas are all exhausted from him inside. and he is able to walk away freely from there, that person, is Krishna is saying, is intelligent. You see? Is intelligent. So, this Krishna has spoken there, and knowing this is Shastra, Shastra Vidhi. Remember? Krishna mentions there, a Shastra Vidhi Mulsrajya Vartade Kama Karagat. So, if karma is executed in this way, then that means you are following Shastra. Otherwise, you are not. If you don't follow this principle of karma, karma yogam, what Krishna has spoken, and if karma is not executed in this way, vartade kama karakat, you are doing out of kamam. That means kamam is there on the way, gateway to hell. That's what it is. So his activity is not based on the cheshta. Cheshta means the activity, endeavor. Is based on kamam, not based on shastram. It's based on kamam, not based on shastram. And therefore, the adhishtanam what he has brought with him from previous lifetime, or the source, all of that, his body, all his vasana, all these things, he won't be able to get rid of from inside. So, basic principle is this. When karma is executed, one day we have to come out of karma. So, karma should help us to free ourselves from the karma. That is karma yoga, is it not? So, in order to do that, you have to follow shastra. That is the shastra vidhi. Shastra's vidhi. Vidhi means, Krishna says, that shastric injunction, in other words. Is it not? That is called Shastra Vidhi. And he does not stop karma. That person doesn't stop karma. But only difference is, he executes karma in a different way. He does the karma. He is not bothered attached to the karma. He does the karma. If the results come or results don't come, he is not bothered about it. Ultimately, you will see when the karma is completed, you will see that all his karma vasana is exhausted. He will not look back into the karma again. If a situation happens like that, then that person is following shastra. That is what that verse is saying. Ya shastra vidhimul srajya vartade kama karakat. Vartade means his karma is referring to there. Vartade kama karakat. That means he is not doing his work, karma, with desires behind it, or with kartrutvam, I am the doer. Neither of them. These things have gone away from him. So, that means, in every activity, he is getting a control over his karma. And that defect or the faults that's coming from the karma, he is able to release them, get them out from inside. So, Krishna says here that this shastram is meant for, which means Bhagavad Gita, is meant for helping people to free themselves from the problem of karma. Instead, Krishna says, instead, if you think that I am the doer, and if you think that I must have the results, the way I planned it, everything should happen, that person, his destiny is what is spoken in the other two, the last two lines. See that verse? First two lines, Krishna says, one who follows the shastram and one who gets a release note from the karma. The first two lines. The last two lines, nasa siddhim avapnodi na sukham na parangadim. If instead, if he doesn't follow shastram and if he does things the way he likes it, thinking that I am the doer of everything, if he does it that way, he will never, Krishna says, nasa siddhim avapnodi, he will never become perfect. Na sukham, he will never be happy either. Na parangadim, he will have no further final destination either. That means another body to follow. So that is, these two verses are important in this chapter. This is the conclusion. What I'm saying is, with these two verses you will see how Krishna takes us into the next chapter. That is also, we'll talk about that. So meanwhile, we'll have a short break.
Chedo darpana marjanam vamahadavagni nirvavanam Shrayakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamradasvandhanam Sarvatna suvanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam Namagari bahuda jasarva shakti tatrarpidani midasmarane nakalam Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamami durdeiva medrishamiha janina nuraga Trinara vishishina tarorabi sahishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Madhanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye Mama janmani janmani ishwari avatar bhakti rahe dugitvaim Ayi nandatanyam janingaram patidamam shame pavambudo Kripaya tava pada mangajasti dadoli sadrasham jindaya Jaladashrudaraya gadgadavibhaya gira pulagayan nishidam kadavavu Tavadhama grahane bhavishyadim Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashlishyava padaradam vinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva Yathadadava vidadadulam vado Matpranamadhastu nayevana para So, this verse, as I said, ye shastra vidimul srijya vartade kamagaraga nasa siddhim nasa siddhim avapnauti na sukham na param yadim. What we have spoken so far, isn't it? So, you can see that this problem with the karma, this is our main headache. Karma vasana inside and engaging in karma. It doesn't get very easily freed from that bondage, is it not? So, this karma, karma yoga is important because of that. And it is based on this principle that Bhagavata Dharmam has come. Bhagavata Dharmam is that. Bhagavata Dharmam, if you look, that is based on this principle. That action, all actions, has to be based on this law of the Karma Yoga. All the activities in the done with the body, mind, everything, has to be based on this principle of the Karma Yoga. And that is the only way we will get released from the evil effects of the karma. And that is why, without accepting this principle, what is mentioned here, without accepting that, if I act independently, thinking that I know what is best, I know what is right, and then Krishna says, Nasa siddhimavapnodi and na sukham na paramgadim. His destination doesn't look very good, very good. So, look at Bhagavata Dharmam now. What is the best explanation for Bhagavata Dharmam? Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyalmanava prakrite svabhaval karomi yadyad sagalam parasmai narayana yedi samarpayami. This is Bhagavata Dharma, isn't it? Who said this? Kavi Maharshi said this in the 11th canto, in the second chapter. You will see everywhere people singing these words in the temples. I don't know whether they understand the whole background of that verse. It's coming from there. When Kavi Maharshi explained what is Bhagavata Dharma, what is Bhagavata Dharma? That was the first question asked. Nimi asked the question. And Kavi Maharshi answered that. That's where it comes, I think. Either it is in the Kavi or Hari, I don't know. 11 to 36, yeah? So it's Kavi, I think. Kavi is answering, probably. 11 to 36, yeah. Yeah, Kavi is answering that. Kavi explaining that. Maniye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya. That's the first one.
and then 33, and then evai bhagavadam prokta upaya atmalabdhaye, to 34th verse. Yevai Bhagavada Prokta Upaya Atmalabdhaye Anja Pumsam Avidusham Vidhi Bhagavadan Hitan Yanastaya Naro Rajan Na Pramadhyana Karhichil Dhavan Nimilyava Netre Na Skhalet Na Patediha. It's after that this verse comes. Kayena Vaja Manasendriyarva. This Kayena Vaja Manasendriyarva, if you understand this verse, that is nothing but Karma Yogam plus Bhakti. Karma Yogam, if you add Bhakti to it, that is this verse. That is verse. So, so Kayen, you can see the words used there. Buddhyalpanava anisrita svabhavat or prakriti svabhavat, whatever that is there. In different books you will see this one word different. Prakriti svabhavat or anisrita svabhavat. It doesn't matter, it's one and the same thing. So, according to the vasana, what you have brought with us in the bag, which is our adhishthanam, based on that, according to that, whatever action is coming through this body, all of them, karoti yadyat sagalam parasmai narayanayedi. Krishna is doing that, I am not doing it. Krishna is doing everything through this body. And to remain in that state and to execute the karmam in that way. That's what is expected. And then it becomes karma yogam, and here it will become bhagavata dharmam. The same karma yogam, Krishna has brought it here into Bhagavata Dharmam, adding bhakti to it. So the problem here is we have got this adhishtanam. Adhishtanam is clear. But what is in the bag we don't know. That's the most difficult thing, is it not? If we know what is in our bag, it would have been a lot easier. But because we do not know, that is why in that verse it says Karomi Yadyat. According to my vasana, whatever coming karma is coming through me. That's how the verse says. You notice that? Karodi yet sat sagalam parasmai. I'm doing a lot of things according to my vasana in me. All of them. Because I don't know what is in the bag. If I knew what it is in the bag, I could have said that. But because I don't know myself what is in the bag, in the adhishtanam, I'm not able to say to Krishna that I'm offering everything to you. I'm not doing anything. But whatever that is coming through me, I offer it to you as the, you are the Karomi Yadyan Narayanayadi Samarpayami. In other words, Krishna, who is the Andaryami inside and who is complete knowledge of everything, Esha Sarveshwaraha, who is completely in control of everything, Esha Sarvajnaha, who knows everything what is going on and everything what is happening through the body, one has to surrender or offer to Krishna. In other words, practically what is expected is to become an instrument in Krishna's hands and to live in that way. And that is Bhagavata Dharma, essence of the Bhagavata Dharma. And one who has done that and handed over everything to Krishna, and by doing that he will escape from karmam first. First he escapes from the karma. What else happened? Chitta Shuddhi will come from that. Chitta Shuddhi will come. Chitta Shuddhi means vasanas have gone away because of the Karma Yogam. And due to that, Chitta Shuddhi has happened. To that person, he is very qualified for receiving the knowledge of the Self. When he hears Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, for example, he will get it in straight away. He won't have any difficulty. It will work for him. It will work for him. Instead of doing, following this process, what Krishna has spoken, if one lives according to his whims, and he acts according to his whims, nasa siddhim avapnodi, he will never get purified inside, Krishna is saying. He will never become pure inside. Chitta Shuddhi will never happen to him. Na sukham na parangadim. Ultimately, he will never have any experience of the Absolute Truth, his identity, and neither liberation. Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna. And then finally, Krishna concludes this chapter. Krishna concludes this chapter. How does he conclude? Last verse, 24.
Tasmal Shastram Pramanam Te.
karyakarya vyavasthito
yatva
shastra vidhanoktam karma kartumi harhasi tasmal shastram pramanam te karyakarya vyavasthito yatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartumi harhasi.
Yes. Tasmal shastram pramanam te. Nothing else except shastram. Krishna is saying to us. Krishna is saying, I am not even the authority. Shastram is the authority. That's the way Krishna puts it to us. Krishna is not saying, look, I am the authority. No. Shastram is the authority. Tasmal shastram pramanam te. Karya karya vyavasthito. And you should know what is right and wrong. Karyam akaryam vyavasthito. What is the right way to do? You should learn from the shastram. Jnatva shastra vidhanoktam. After knowing the shastram properly, karma kartu viharhasi, you should engage in karma. So, one should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulation of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. One should act so that gradually be elevated. You will see this in the Bhagavatam also. How is Bhagavatam it comes? When Parikshit Maharaj heard about Krishna's activities with the gopis, Parikshit asked the question to Shukam Brahmarshi, is this proper for Krishna to do this relationship with the gopis like this? You read what Shukam Brahmarshi mentions there to Parikshit. Shukam Brahmarshi told Parikshit, personalities like Lord Shiva, Krishna, all of them, they are not bound by this. They are not bound by this. You cannot follow them, he says. So we are thinking that whatever Krishna does, we should follow. No, we have to follow Shastra, not Krishna. You can't follow Krishna. Can we follow Krishna? We can't follow Krishna. And we can't follow Shiva. And he gave the example that when the churning of the milk ocean happened, when the poison came out from there, halahalam, Lord Shiva managed to pull it into the palm, into a few drops, and took it inside. It didn't even go down, it stayed in the throat. He said, not. Can you do that, he says. Shiva Brahmarshi asked Parikshit, can anybody do that, what he has done? So, great personalities, what they do is not important. What they teach us is important. What they do is beyond our, we can't justify it, we can't follow it, we won't be able to we won't be able to imitate that. It's not possible. Whatever they have given, instructed us, and that is Shastra. They live their life in such a way that will be complete conformity with the Shastram. That is why Shastram is Pramanam. Krishna says here that Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De. In the last words he said that is the name. Yet Shastra Vidimul Srijya Vartade Kamakarada Nasa Siddhimavapnodi Na Sukham Na Param Gadim. After saying this, says Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De Karya Karya Vivastidav Nyatva Shastra Vidhayanoktam Karma Kartam Iharhasi. Karma Kartam Iharhasi, he says there. So, here Bhashyam says Ya Shastra Vidim Kartavya Akartavya Jnana Karanam Vidhi Pradishedhakhyam Ulsrajya Tvetva Vartade Kama Karataha Kama Prayukta Tal Nasa Siddhim Purusharta Yogyanam Avapnodi Na Abhi Asmin Loke Sukham Na Abhi Param Prakrishtam Gadim Swargam Avapnodi Moksham Va. He says, suppose, he says, Shastram gives you the knowledge, Shastram gives the Jnanam, isn't it? Instead of following that, suppose somebody acts according to his whims, such a person, he is not entitled for the final result. He is not entitled, he says here, because he will not get happiness either here, vartade kama karada, and he cannot have either even the heavenly planets, he is not qualified for to go to the heavenly planets, nor even liberation. And then he says, Tasmal Shastram Pramanam Jnana Sadhanam Te Tava Karya Karya Vyavasthito Kartavya Kartavya Akartavya Vyavasthayam അതോ ജ്ഞാത്വാ ബുദ്ധ്വാ ശാസ്ത്രവിധാനോക്തം വിധി വിധാനം ശാസ്ത്രോക്ത വിധാനം ശാസ്ത്രവിധാനം കുര്യാത് ന കുര്യാത് ഇതി ഏവം ലക്ഷണം തേന ഉക്തം സ്വകർമ്മം യത്തൽ കർത്തും യഹർഹസി അഹ ഇതി ഇതി കർമാധികാരഭൂമി പ്രദർശനാർത്ഥം ഇതി. ശാസ്ത്രം ഗിവ്സ് നോളജ് വാട്ട് വൺ ഷുഡ് ഡു ഇസ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഓൾസോ ടെൽസ് അസ് വാട്ട് വൺ ഷുഡ് ഡു ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് വൺ ഷുഡ് നോട്ട് ഡു. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് കർമ്മം അകർമ്മം വികർമ്മം ഇസ് ഓൾ അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ്റ്റ് ദാറ്റ് എലോൺ ഷുഡ് ബി ദ ബേസിസ് ദാറ്റ് എലോൺ ഷുഡ് ബി ദി ബേസിസ് ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സ്ട്രെസ്സിങ് ദാറ്റ് പോയിന്റ് അഗെയിൻ ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഹസ് ബീൻ സ്പോക്കൺ ബൈ ദ ശാസ്ത്രം എലോൺ മസ്റ്റ് ബി done and those who are doing that those who are being asked to do that or though put into that situation and those who are following the shastram he should follow that very strictly and act based on that what is spoken in the shastram. Krishna says that and with that chapter finishes. So here karmam has to be executed based on this shastra vidhi shastri vidhi. If you do not do that karma kartum iharhasi Krishna says there karya karya vyavasthito how to do the karma and not to do the karma if you know this properly and if you execute the karma in that way Krishna is saying to Arjuna you will get released, you will get liberated and tatvajnanam will happen, knowledge of the truth will come realize. And this is the ultimate conclusion of this chapter. So this verse is an introduction as Krishna does in all the chapters. The last verses will be an introduction to the next chapter, which you can see in the next chapter here. That this chapter, Krishna called it as, Krishna is saying, this Shastram, which is Shastram Bhagavad Gita, is what Krishna has given us, is it not? Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gidam. Devaki's son, Krishna has sung this song in the form of Shastram as Bhagavad Gita. And Acharya calls it as Vedart, Sarva Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam. It's a beautiful way of saying the glory of Bhagavad Gita. And so one who has studied Bhagavad Gita very well, he doesn't have to think, oh, I didn't study the Veda. This is the important thing. Suppose you have studied Bhagavad Gita well, very well. You have to study Bhagavad Gita very well, with all its subtleties. If you have studied Bhagavad Gita well, then even if you don't have to feel bad about not studying the Veda or not understanding the Veda, because those who have studied Veda also, they know the Vedam from the sound point of view. That means from the Shabda Brahman. That's what they know. They chant the Vedam. But Vedam, practically not many people who understand what Vedam is saying. They are called Shabdavit. Shabdavit means the sound is there in them. So, if you have studied Bhagavad Gita with the proper subtleties of Bhagavad Gita, that means proper knowledge of Karma Yoga, proper knowledge of Jnana Yoga, proper knowledge of Bhakti Yoga, and the proper relationship between all the yoga system and the message what Krishna is sending through. Because if you study Bhagavad Gita in thoroughly, you will get a conclusion within yourself, this is what Bhagavad Gita wants me to do in this life. That is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? If you look at great, great personalities, what they got out from Bhagavad Gita and what they had to say about Bhagavad Gita, you will see that when they were in crisis in their own life, they consulted Bhagavad Gita and they found that there is an answer. Even in a very, very complex situations when they were put into, they had said this about it. So, even though in this age, we are not so fortunate that we had the opportunity to study Vedam and understand Vedam, but Bhagavad Gita one can study. It is not difficult if one gives time for that. So therefore, again Krishna is saying, seriously take Bhagavad Gita. Never ignore Bhagavad Gita, because if Bhagavad Gita is driving, the spiritual life will get to the right place. If something else is driving, you cannot guarantee. There are so many other things. That is why Bhagavad Gita is put into this situation, isn't it? So therefore, Bhagavad Gita has to be taken very, very seriously. And even with children, when they are small, it is good to teach them some verses in the Bhagavad Gita to chant, so that some relationship with the Bhagavad Gita is built up in the heart. Children won't understand this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. It's difficult. They are not that developed in their mind to understand Bhagavad Gita, because it is very subtle. Lot of subtle things in the Bhagavad Gita, particularly in relationship with Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, even Bhakti Yogam. If you go into detail of all those things in the Bhagavad Gita, children cannot understand that. It's not possible. So, but if in childhood, if some verses, at least if we can pass on to them, if they recite them, or if you recite them in front of them, and keep reading this Bhagavad Gita on a daily basis, it will inspire them at some point in time when their intelligence is developed to take some interest in the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, if you start introducing them at the age of 50 and 60, you hand over them this, here is Bhagavad Gita as it is, please read, he won't read it. And even if he read it, he will be looking for, straight away, instead of understanding good Bhagavad Gita, he'll be going after which institution is offering me something more attractive than all these things. Mind will go in a different direction. But that is not what is expected. What is expected is first to go to Shastram and take it from the Shastram what's necessary. After you have assimilated Shastram properly, only after that other inquiry, whatever way, then that inquiry what you do will be perfect. It will happen in the proper way. That is why it's so important in the early days itself, it is important even for the children to get some relationship with the Bhagavad Gita. So they don't feel that this is an unknown thing to them later in their life. So that is why Krishna is saying here that samasta vedartha sara sangraha bhudam. So those who have retired, it's worthwhile reading this on a regular basis. Reading this on a regular basis and given time to absorb in it. Given as much time as possible to absorb in it. Because more and more if you start reading Bhagavad Gita, you will notice one thing, the beautiful connection from every chapter to chapter. How a whole science Krishna has summarized in these 18 chapters and that is why Acharya Swami calls it as Samartha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam. That no one else could do this like the way Krishna has done it. Nobody else could do it before. So beautiful that the way it's represented. Only thing is, you have to get to feel that subtlety of the Bhagavad Gita. Then you will really start appreciating how nicely it's been done. How nicely it's been done. And to absorb like that in that is called anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means getting absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita all the time. Getting absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita all the time. That means if you do that, what will happen is you will realize one thing, that no part of Bhagavad Gita is you can reject. And you will also notice one thing, that there is a very strong connection between all the verses. Because it's a science, but it is presented in Krishna's way. Krishna has put it in a particular way. We have to know that pattern, how Krishna has presented that. So that is why Krishna is saying here that that even many, many Mahalpas, if you look into their life, they will see. Mahatma Gandhi says, Bhagavad Gita is more dear to me than my own mother. This is what he said about Bhagavad Gita. About Bhagavad Gita, Gandhiji had to say, that my mother is not as dear to me as Bhagavad Gita. Because when I have a crisis, I go and sit next to her, referring to Bhagavad Gita. I sit next to her. And when I sit there, I get the answer, what I should do. He mentions this in this autobiography. And any other, so many other, Acharya Swami says, Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram. In the last verse in the Bhajagovindam, isn't it? One of the verses it says, Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram. That sing Bhagavad Gita, he says, continuously. And Deyam Shripadi Rupam Ajasram. And remember Krishna. Remember Krishna and sing Bhagavad Gita. And that is the way he says here. So that is the importance of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the answer to all our questions in spiritual life. There is no other answer. If Bhagavad Gita is understood, then there won't be questions after that. Because we have not given enough importance to Bhagavad Gita. That is why all doubts coming to us. And we keep thinking that Puranam, it is not a Puranam. You have to remember this. In Bhagavadam, you are entitled to have doubts. But in Bhagavad Gita, you are not entitled to have doubts. Because it's a science. You can't have doubts. Bhagavadam, you can have doubts because it's a Puranam. In Puranam, there are so many things spoken. Is it not? Where you may have, naturally, doubts will come there. Particularly with so many historic incidents, what is spoken there. That is allowed. But in Bhagavad Gita, because it belongs to the Upanishads category, it's Upanishadam it is, isn't it? Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gidamrudam Mahat. Gita's Mahatvam, Gita's greatness is that. So therefore, although we may say, oh, we should study Bhagavad Gita first, then we should go to Bhagavatam, then we should go to Charitamrita, which is the highest one and all. But if you are not understood even Bhagavad Gita itself properly, what's the point in talking about Bhagavatam and Charitamrita? First of all, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita should be... There are many, many people who have such deep knowledge of Bhagavad Gita that they read it, never satisfied. They get the greatest pleasure because it is the truth. Is it not? It is the truth. You can't find, nowhere else you will come across truth spoken in such a nice way, like the Krishna has spoken. Without any prejudice to anybody in this world, keeping all living entities equal, irrespective of body or culture or birth or whatever it is. Simply on the platform of the soul, if there is one scripture in this world, everything explained in more satisfying than anything else, that is Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? You can't have any doubts about it because whole thing is spoken on the platform of the soul, not on the platform of the body. Krishna never spoke about the body anywhere. Everything on the platform of the soul. And that soul, Krishna says, is never touched by ragam, never touched by desham, never touched by kartrutvam, never touched by bhoktrutvam. None of them can touch the self. Self is totally independent. So that is this presentation, like in the Bhagavad Gita. There is no other shastram in this world which can elevate in his spiritual understanding. No other book can give that spiritual understanding like the way Bhagavad Gita does. And that is why it is kept, although it is in the Mahabharatam, it is kept in par with Upanishads and Brahma Sutra. Prasthanatrayam they call it, isn't it? Prasthanatrayam means Brahma Sutram, Deshopanishad, 10 Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita. That is the reason behind it. They didn't keep anything else, not even Bhagavatam. They kept Bhagavad Gita with that. Because the science is so perfect and so perfectly explained that all Acharyas, starting from Shankaracharya onwards, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, everybody took Bhagavad Gita and presented their Siddhantam through Bhagavad Gita. So, that is that. And the last thing is, if you look into that verse, you will see, as I mentioned, Krishna has put this as the introduction for the next chapter. In the verse 23, Krishna says, Ya shastram vidimul srijya vartade kamakarada nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na paramgadim. Isn't it? Ascertaining again the authority of Shastra. When we start the next chapter, we'll come to it in little more detail. But authority of Shastra is unquestionable. You can't question that. Because if you start questioning Shastra, like people often question Shastra, isn't it? First of all, they haven't got a clue what they're talking about. When they question Bhagavad Gita. And you can see here, when Krishna said that 23rd verse, look at Arjuna, how he starts the first verse in the next chapter. Arjuna vacha, ya shastram idi vil srijya, yajande shraddhayanvidaha tesham nishtaduka krishna sattvam aho rajastama. In this he says, ya shastra vidimul srijya vartade kama karada na sa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na parangadim. Krishna concludes this chapter. Arjuna caught on that and he is asking, ya shastra vidimul srijya yajande shraddhayanvita tesham nishtaduka krishna sattvam aho rajastama. Arjuna is saying, what is the, because Krishna spoke so strongly about the Shastram, Arjuna is asking in the next chapter, what is the situation of those who do not follow the Shastram and but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, are they in passion, or are they in ignorance? Arjuna is not asking for himself, for us, people like us, who have got so many questions. Question 1, 2, 3, on and on and on and on. Whole life asking questions. Where is it going to end? So, it is only for us, this chapter. Krishna is, Arjuna has no doubts, Arjuna has no question about Shastram. That is why you can see, it is from this verse the next chapter has come. Because of the stress on the Shastram, Krishna has done, Arjuna says, what will happen to those who didn't trust Shastram, who didn't take Shastram seriously? So we'll stop there today, this class, and we'll continue with the Kirtan till 6:30. And next Saturday, we'll start the next chapter, 17. We have two more chapters, 17th and the 18th. Oh, Lord,